This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
Singing those words gets our mind upon the Lord. And it kind of reminds us of what we are here for today. Let's turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. And so good to be back in the house of the Lord with you all, if I can say it that way. Where I'm from, we say y'all. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. I enjoyed men's conference immensely and so thankful. If you miss men's conference, men, you need to make plans to go next year. I could sit here and talk about men's conference for 20 minutes, but let's move quickly to the Word of God. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 14 all through this lesson. So if you want to just stay on those two chapters, Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 14, we're going to talk about some things in those chapters. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4. It begins, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." And here's where I want to talk about this verse right here, verse 3. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Endeavoring to keep the unity. And that's what I'm going to preach about or talk about this morning. Endeavoring to keep unity. God bless you can be seated this morning. Friday afternoon, Lori and I was enjoying the beautiful weather. Late that afternoon, we was outside sitting, as probably some of you were this weekend. It's been such nice, pleasant weather. We don't get that very often here in Louisiana. And Hope and Hayden were playing outside. Lori and I was just talking, and they decided they wanted to play baseball. So Hope and Hayden began to grab the bat, grab the ball, and begin to throw to each other. And it didn't take very long where they started fighting. You know, and Laura and I, we're trying to have a nice, pleasant conversation. We're trying to enjoy, hear the birds chirping, feel the breeze blowing, and just enjoy the great outdoors. And I hear all this bickering and fighting. And it's amazing how this baseball game turned quickly into a Yankees-Red Sox match. Because they were arguing over who, one of them wanted to pitch, and then the other one wanted the bat. I don't know what it, you know, but it's amazing how siblings fight, isn't it? Why do siblings just get in such heated debates? I mean, I didn't get in a whole lot of fights when I was growing up, but all the fights, the majority of the fights I got in was with my brother. The only time I've ever been knocked out in my life has been by my brother. And why is that? How can brothers and sisters get so worked up over such small, insignificant things? Think about that. Why do we fight with the ones that are so close to us? Why is that? We eventually grow out of that, right? Don't we grow out of that? Or do we? You know, nothing upsets parents more than when they see their sons and their daughters fighting. And the Lord is no different when it comes to His church. You see, in fact, if you carefully study the New Testament, you will see that it gives more attention to unity than it does to heaven or to hell. Absolutely. And we're going to look at a lot in Scripture today, because in this lesson, I hope through these Scriptures, and I'm going to read a lot of them. So Sister Jody, she's ready. She's going to throw a lot of Scriptures on the screen this morning. But we can see how important it is to preserve the unity of this church. David said in Psalms 133, he said these words. They sang a beautiful song with beautiful words. Well, listen to these beautiful words. Verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." He said how good and how pleasant it is. So we're going to talk about the beauty and the pleasantness of being joined together as the body of Christ. Amen. We're going to go quickly to John chapter 17, look at a story. Jesus here was fixing to be betrayed by Judas. These were some of his last words on this earth. He was in a prayer meeting. And I want to show you what he was praying in his last final words in John chapter 17. We're going to pick up the prayer in verse 20. Jesus says these words. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone. Now let's pause right here. What is he talking about in this prayer? He's saying, I'm not just praying for these guys that are around me right here. Because it's going to go into detail. So I'm not just praying for the disciples right now. Because if you read on, he says, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So who is he talking about here in this prayer? He is praying for his disciples, but he's talking about us. He's talking for the believers who will listen to the apostles' doctrine later on. He says, I pray for all them that will believe on me through their word. Talking about when the disciples preach, that are those that are going to believe on that word. This is who he's praying for. Then he goes on to say that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me. Here's a good oneness scripture. Father, thou art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. So in his final words on this earth, God Almighty included unity in his prayer meet. He prayed for you and I in 2014. He prayed for this church. He prayed for all the believers that would believe the word that the apostles taught. He said, I want them to be one. Jesus was praying here for the unity of the church. Jesus knew that the gospel was going to be preached by his disciples, and he knew believers would respond, but Jesus also knew that his church we're going to go under a massive attack. And it's been on the attack for many centuries. But I want to tell you, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. I said the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. Let's clap our hands if you believe that this morning. Hallelujah. So in his last prayer, Jesus prayed that his word would come alive in the disciples. And that as the church would grow, that they would stay together. So that kind of tells us, in Christ's final hours on this earth, he said, he was talking about unity. That was on the uppermost part of his mind. He was thinking about you and I. He was thinking about his church. It was his top priority. The passage alone should make us aware how important, how vital unity is. You see, nothing on this earth is more precious to God than you and I. Amen. Nothing. He loves the sinner. He loves this world. He loves all races. He loves everything about this world, but there's nothing more important to God than his church. Amen. Because he bled and he died for it. He paid the highest price for it. It is safe to say that Jesus wants his church to be protected. Yes, it does. And so it's safe for us to say that we've got to protect, it's our responsibility to protect this church, your church, from division, from distractions,
right,
from conflict, from disharmony.
Yes, sir.
See, that is why we must endeavor to keep the unity. You see, you are commissioned by Jesus Christ out of all the obligations that you have serving God. You are commissioned by God to do everything possible to preserve the unity of this church.
Right.
To protect the fellowship of this church. To promote harmony in the local assembly.
Amen.
You see, every one of us, we have a lot of responsibilities. Some of us teach, some of us sing, some of us are ushers, but we all have the responsibility, every one of us,
everyone,
to preserve the fellowship, yes, of this local assembly. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Now, in our opening text, if you read the NIV version of Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says it this way in the NIV version. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So let's get started on how can we do this. How can we accomplish this? What does Scripture say on how do we keep the unity in a local assembly? We're going to read Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Paul said this. He said, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying, let us pursue after things that call for peace, not for conflict.
Absolutely.
He's also saying that we need to find things in our life, in our conversation, in our world, in Scripture. Can I go on?
Absolutely.
That edify each other.
Absolutely.
That build each other up.
Absolutely.
That's what he's saying. He said, and things wherewith one may edify another. He said, you need to follow after these things. Things that will make for peace. Things that will edify the body of Christ. You need to develop a habit and start finding scriptures that will help not only you, but others.
Amen.
You need to find a conversation every once in a while, and in that conversation, you need to glorify God. You need to tell your testimony. You need to say something that's positive, something that can build somebody else's faith. Amen. It goes on in those in Ephesians. Now, let's get back to Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, now I'm going to be flip-flopping back and forth in Romans 14 and Ephesians 4, but just stay with me, because all these scriptures tie into each other. He said, Paul was saying to pursue after peace and not conflict. Now look at what, if we keep continue to read Ephesians chapter 4, after verse 3, it says these words. Right after that scripture in verse 4, what does it say? Ephesians 4 and 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in the hope of one hope of your calling, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, verse 5, one faith, and one baptism. The next scripture says, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. But what is he really saying there? He's saying we all have common ground.
Amen.
It doesn't matter really what the label is on the outside of this church. I'm glad we got Pentecostal on our church sign, because I am a Pentecostal. Excuse the vernacular, but I are one. Amen? And you are one too. But it doesn't matter what label I wear, because we really, essentially, there's millions that all obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're all one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What are you talking about, Brother Stevens? I'm talking about unity. I'm talking about we are all diverse, but we all have one spirit. We are led by the Spirit of God. We all have common ground. We have one Lord, one faith, one spirit. We've all been baptized in Jesus' name. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So why are we always focusing in our world on differences? Why do we do that? Think about that. Why are we focusing on differences? We share the same life. Every one of us have an electric bill, I think. Every one of us have, we have to pay the utilities. Every one of us have a car to drive in, and most of us have car notes. We all have a mortgage, we all have rent, so we all have the same life, same problems. Amen? We have the same great salvation. We all believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We've all been baptized in His name. We believe in repentance. We believe in baptism in Jesus' name. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I got any believers here this morning? So, whether you call yourself apostolic, Pentecostal, whatever you call yourself, there are millions in this world that believe this message that we believe. So, but we are diverse. We have different personalities. We have different preferences. We have different backgrounds. God wants, let me make this statement. God wants unity. He does not want uniformity. God wants unity, but He does not want uniformity. Let me explain. God has made us all different and unique. And so everybody in this world, and especially everybody in this church and in God's church, He created us to be different. And so we've got to use these personalities. We've got to use these things to help reach somebody. There's only so many people that I can influence.
Amen.
Okay? There are people in your workplace, on your job, in the classroom, wherever you go, that you're going to be able to influence that I can't reach. And it's going to be your personality, everything that you like, your preferences, the things you talk about, that's going to influence some. You're going to be different than I. The way that you approach somebody is going to be differently than the way that I approach them. You know what? God designed this church. That's why He said in Scripture, He said that some of us are hands, some of us are fingers, some of us, we all have different responsibilities, but we all work together that we may reach our world. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Am I making sense this morning? So let's quit focusing on our differences. Let's start finding common ground, and let's get along. Amen? We cannot let our difference divide us. Let me read some more scripture. Let's go back to Romans chapter 14, verse 1. This may sort it out a little bit better. Verse 1 says these words, Paul's writing. He says, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, and another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despiseth him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." Let me just break it down in 2014 language. There's going to be a lot of people coming in this place. If we're going to grow like the plan of, like I believe we are in the plan of God for this church, we're going to have people that's going to come from all kinds of different personalities, different backgrounds. They're not going to see everything like we see it, okay? And I'm not talking about the doctrine. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because I believe the doctrine. Your pastor teaches that and believes that. I'm not talking about the one Lord, the one faith, and one baptism. I'm talking about everything that we do in life. They're going to see things differently. I'm going to explain myself a little bit more here in Scripture, but can I just plainly speak to you for a few moments? Is that okay? Can I talk where we live? Not everybody is going to like the same style of music you like. I like Clint Brown, and some of you may not even know who Clint Brown is. I think he's an anointed singer. That's just my opinion. But you know what? There's going to be people, young people, there are going to be different people that come into the space. They're not going to like Clint Brown. I can't have a problem with that. I got to accept them for liking Fred Hammond or whoever they listen to, Casting Crowns or whatever the type of music it might be. I've learned over the years that not everything that goes on in church, I have to like. Amen. Can I? Y'all ought to be clapping your hands right now for that. Amen. And I don't like it when I see. Now, I know the audience I'm preaching to this morning. I don't like it when I see elders that all the time are fussing about, well, I don't like that type of music. You know what you're doing? You're not keeping unity in the church. You see, not everybody's going to like the color of the walls. I'm a painter, and believe me, I know how important color on the walls can be. Can I get an amen, Sister Anna? You know how important that is. Not everybody's going to like the chandeliers. Not everybody's going to like everything that goes on in this place. But you know what? We can still keep unity. You know, the toughest job in this church is not the pastor's job, and it is tough. But I'm going to tell you, the toughest job in this church is Brother Ryan's job. You ought to give him a hand right now. He has the toughest job, because some people say, over here they'll say it's too loud, and over here they'll say it's too low, and over here it's the music lady over here, I don't know who she is, but she'll fuss because the monitors ain't up high enough. And the drummer back here is saying, well, I can't hear anything, I can't hear the bass, and all these, the sound, man, you're never going to get it right, Brother Ryan. I love you and I appreciate what you do, but you're never going to get it right in this place. Ushers, you're never going to get the thermostat set just right. Somebody's going to be either too cold or too hot, but you know what? We still need to endeavor to keep the unity. Amen. We got to stay united. You see, we can't afford to let our differences destroy us. We got to keep harmony. We got to learn to avoid some things. Let's go back to Scripture. If you live for God, which I know all of you are trying to do, there's going to be some words that are going to come in your life that you always got to obey. First words is resist. What's the Scripture say? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Words like abstain. Scripture says abstain from all appearance of evil. Words like flee. Flee from fornication. You're going to see that all through Scripture. But there's a lot of words in Scripture that says these words. It's just got to be a part of your life. It says avoid. Everybody say avoid.
Avoid.
We're going to read one. Paul notified us of something to avoid. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 23. Boy, I'm fixing to really preach now. Y'all still like me?
Yes, sir.
But foolish and unlearned questions, avoid.
Absolutely.
One of the hardest things to do sometimes. Knowing that they do gender strifes.
Good.
Don't try to answer stupid questions.
That's a truth.
Don't. If you don't get anything in this message, remember, write that down. Don't try to answer stupid questions. Because you're going to get them. You're going to get them in this place, and you're going to get them outside these walls. What you need to do is you need to find, like some ways, we need to find words that build up and encourage, not gender stripes. You see, why try to answer questions? There's a lot of questions that I've, as a preacher, I get a lot of stupid questions over the time. I get questions like, where did dinosaurs come from? I can't answer all the questions, and I'm not trying to. What I want to do is I want to talk about the goodness of God. I want to talk about His great mercy and His grace that is for us. So let's continue to read. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says these words. Paul talked about in 2 Timothy about avoiding foolish questions. Now, Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in, not just the same mind, but notice what he says, in the same judgment. Paul here is pleading for harmony in the church. And we as a body of Christ, as a body of believers, when we come together for worship, we've got to be joined together in one mind. We need to speak the same things. We need to like the same things. We need to worship with the four, I don't know what they call the group. I just call them I like to call them the chordsmen. But when Brother Tim and Brother Brian and Brother Chuck and all these, Brother Jim, they get together and sing, we need to worship with them. But we also need to worship with the surge band. We need to speak the same mind, the same accord. When Sister Stevens get up and she sings so beautifully and so eloquently and so anointed, and so we need to worship with her as well. We need to worship with Brady. Brady, when he sings. Everybody, when we come into this house, when the preacher gets up and preaches, when it's Donnie Willis, we need to amen Donnie Willis. When Brother Stevens gets up and he preaches so wonderfully and so passionately and so fervently, we need to say amen when he preaches. But more importantly, when Pastor Mahoney gets up in the pulpit, you ought to stand to your feet, clap your hands, say, preach it to me, Pastor. Give it to me, Pastor. Whatever it is, we need to be in the same mind, the same spirit. We're keeping unity, amen. We're making this church stronger. Hallelujah. I got a revelation for you. Deep revelation. Every one of us are sinners. And a church is full of sinners. That's why he said in verse 2 of Ephesians chapter 4, he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Some key words in this scripture are longsuffering and forbearing. Yes. I've heard people, and you have too, that said, the reason I don't come to church is I've been hurt. Or I don't come here because I've been let down. Or I don't come to that church because somebody said something. Well, the fact is, to keep unity, we've got to think like this scripture, with long-suffering and forbearing. Because guess what?
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to let you down. Because we're human. And because this church is full of sinners. We're all sinners saved by grace. Don't forget that scripture. We all got to repent. We all make mistakes. And let me just tell you something. I'm going to let you down in some way. Probably I've already let you down in some measure in the 4 years I've been here. The pastor's going to let you down sometime. Guess what? You're going to let other people down. But that should not divide us.
Amen.
You know what it should make us? It should make us strive for unity. It should make us be more forbearing, more long-suffering, more forgiving
that
to each other. Amen?
That is the truth.
You're not going to find a perfect church. And as I often heard Brother Tenney say, don't go there because it won't be perfect anymore. No, are we going to continue in sin? No, God forbid. That's what Paul said. Are we going to strive to be like Christ? Yes, most certainly. But from time to time, guess what? We're all going to miss the mark.
Sure we are.
We're all going to fall short of His grace. And that's what's so great about His grace and mercy. Because when we fall short, we can lean upon Him, somebody that's stronger. But let me just say these words. When someone doesn't hit on all 8 cylinders, don't dare post it on social media. When somebody hurts you, please, please don't pick up the phone and call all your best buddies and tell them how they hurt you. You've been hurt in churches, and I have too. And I know that some of you have strived to keep living for God even past those hurts and those wounds. You know what? It's hard for when somebody hurts you. When Judas betrayed Jesus, that was the hardest thing for Christ. But he still loved Judas even to the end, the scripture said. Don't post it on Facebook. Don't put it on Twitter. Why not instead get a little meekness and a little kindness and add some long-suffering and some forbearance? You add a little dash of forbearance, I want to tell you, you'll be a friend to somebody in need. Whenever somebody falls, when somebody messes up, when somebody says something they shouldn't say, don't get on social media. Go call that person. Go visit that person. Go send them a card. Go edify that person. Go lift them up and say, hey, I forgive you. Hey, I want to build you up. Hey, I don't want to lose you. I want to see you live for God. I want to see you successful. Because guess what? When you make a mistake, you want the same kind of treatment. as a preacher, make sure when a preacher gets, especially your pastor, when he gets finished with a message, make sure, I know you can't get to him every service, but every once in a while you need to go up to him and say, that was a dynamic message, Pastor. Especially when it ministered to your need. What are you doing? You're endeavoring to keep the unity of the body. Romans, let's go back to Romans 14 and 4. Go a little bit deeper. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. What is he saying there now in Romans? How can you judge another man's servant? How only his master can judge whether or not he's doing a good job. All of you are not with me Monday through Thursday, but Dennis Corner is. Dennis Corner is my boss. And you may see me on the job. You may drive by PPG. And you may be seeing me sitting around talking to somebody. And you may think that Brother Stevens is nothing but a lazy bum. But you know what? You're not my employer. Dennis Corner is. And he is basically, let's break it down as the scripture says, he is my master on the job. And so whether I'm successful or whether I'm a lazy bum, that doesn't matter what you think about me. It matters what Dennis Corner thinks about me. Am I doing my job? So why, let's break it down to where we at. Why are we judging people when the master, when our Lord and Savior, they may be at a different level than we are. Why are we judging them? We're not their master. We're not their Lord and Savior. I don't know where they're at spiritually. And I'm certainly not going to judge them because I'm going to be guilty of this right here. I want to make sure that I'm edifying the body. I want to make sure that I'm doing the best I can that I can live for God. I'm not worried about what spiritual state they're at. I'm going to try and help them, encourage them. Amen. I'm endeavoring to keep the unity of this church when I mind my own business. When I mind my own business. Wouldn't you like it on that day when you're an underachiever? Because we are going to. I hope I'm doing a good job, Dennis. Man. I hope when we're an underachiever, someone is going to be a little kind-hearted towards you. Let's go on. Paul later says in verse 10 of this chapter, as he talks about how can you judge another man's master, another man's servant with his master. Look at what he says in verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Now he's getting to the church now. Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So he breaks it down. He takes it from the workplace. Now he takes it to where we live in the church. And he says, why are we judging our brother? Why are we doing these things? We're all going to stand before Christ one day and be judged. So why are we doing these things? Why are we judging each other? We've got to learn to encourage instead of criticize. Criticize, and I got to move quickly. When you criticize, four things are going to happen. You're going to lose fellowship with God. You will expose yourself to your own pride and your insecurity. When you criticize, you're going to set yourself up to be judged by God. And you know what you do? You harm the fellowship of the church when you criticize. What did we read in Romans 14, 19 earlier? Let us therefore follow, let us therefore pursue after the things which make for peace. We got to pursue after these things. We got to find things that edify one another. Let's read some more. Powerful scripture right here that I'm fixing to read. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4. It says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You want to be successful at breaking up the unity of the church? You don't have to gossip. You just listen to gossip. Because Solomon here, notice here, he's not talking about somebody speaking. He does that in Proverbs. He's talking right here about a wicked doer. All he's got to do is just lend his ear. Amen. To false lips. He says, a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. He says, if you just listen to gossip, you lend your ear towards it, you know what you're doing? You're destroying the unity of the church. Absolutely. That's why you've got to change the subject. You got to find things to get out of conversation sometimes. You got to avoid some things like we talked about earlier. Resist some things. Flee some things. Add these words to your vocabulary in your Christian walk. Because why? Because there's going to become circumstances. There's going to be conversations. You're going to have to find an exit. You're going to have to find a detour. Or you know why? Just by listening to that conversation, you're going to be, as this scripture says, a wicked doer. You're going to be just the same as a liar. And we don't want to be that, do we? Don't listen, don't speak, don't even whisper. The scripture says, Proverbs 16:28 says these words. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Just whispering things can separate. One more proverb for you. Chapter 20, verse 19 says it this way. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. That's as plain as it can get, folks. Plain as it can get. You see, and I'm coming to a close. It's 10:42. Sister Stevens, won't you come up and Brother Brian, help me. We've got to pray for the leaders of this church. Hebrews 13:7 says these words. This is all, I'm going to tie all this into unity right here. Scripture says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. He says to remember those that have the rule over you, to pray for the leadership, to pray for your pastor, to pray for your youth leader, to pray for your music leaders, to pray for the ushers, to pray for every leadership in the church, especially those that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is it so important to pray for those that share the gospel of Jesus Christ? I wish I had time. I'd take you to Romans chapter 10, but I don't. But this is why, going back to Ephesians, verse 11, as we stand together, this is why it's so important. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. And he did this for why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, which is us. And the key word here is verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a what? A perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The reason you need to remember your pastor in prayer. You know why you need to remember the leadership of this church? Because they are teachers, they are apostles, they're prophets in your life. They're building you up, they're building up your faith, they're trying to help you be saved. And you need to endeavor to keep the unity of this church. We're going to sing a song together, and I want us all to join hands. This is an old classic song by Russ Tapp. I feel like it's just time for us, before we go into worship, before we're dismissed, let's sing these songs together. Let's pray for one another. I'm going to join Brother Brian's hand. Let's sing this song together.
Oh, my brother.